Rizzo and Beetle at Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
Hour number three, noontime hour, Zolak and Bertrand. Dedication for Zoe here today, Mr. Grinch.
Why?
Grinchy Zoe.
Oh, please. Mr. Happy.
You sure about that?
Yeah. I'm fine.
Okay. All right. 617-779-0985. You watched Monday Night Football last night, Zoe.
Sure did.
And, well, what do you make of the Saints? And what does that game tell you about the playoff picture for all the NFL?
I just think, you know, I think we look at it. It's snapshots throughout the course of the year, whether it's the quarter. I know you don't like to use this term, but the quarter pole, the half pole, three quarters through, and we say, okay, what's the league look like?
Such a misuse of
I know it's a misuse of the quarter pole, but for the morons out there,
the quarter
pole
should have been after 12 weeks, then, right?
Right.
Yeah.
If we're doing
quarter
it,
left,
right, right, right. But well, the way people are trained, the way listeners are trained, the quarters. You know, we're told that September doesn't matter, right? That's extension of the preseason. Well. You look back at some of those bad losses in September, they're affecting you now, as are some of your bad losses now. We had an evaluation about a month ago, and we thought, okay, it is clearly Chiefs, Patriots, Rams, Saints. Rams have had a hiccup last couple of weeks. Goff isn't playing well. Play calling has some issues. They're not committed to Todd Gurley all of a sudden. The Saints go in and have a rock fight last night with the Carolina Panthers, team in their division, they know very well. Mm-hmm. Those games are always physical. They end up squeaking a win out. They didn't look good. I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, okay, say you get into a match against the Saints. You got 2 weeks to get ready for this team. Can you play with that team for 60 minutes in a game that we're told is different than any other game, and it's longer, and you're tired, and you end up tiring out by the third, fourth quarter? I think, yeah, you'd
be able
to compete
about
there.
The Saints like they've never won a Super Bowl because
I just think the way the Chiefs have not been able to handle any primetime game. They've lost every time they're in primetime. When the lights are its brightest, the mismanagement of the clock, the turnovers by the quarterback, whether you're the Rams, whether you're the Saints, whether you're the Chiefs, a team that's hot right now, the Chargers. Chargers might be playing like they're the best team in football right now.
Which I hate.
Which they're in the mix, but the point is, I think you're still kind of in the mix with everybody. Is my point, and I think this thing's wide ass open.
I would just
for both conferences, NFC and AFC. Not even a Patriot perspective. This thing's wide ass open. So does it really matter then if you're the 2, the 3, the 4, the 5, or 6? It might not. It might be who's hot at that time. That's what's roll with the hot team. This could be like the Green Bay Super Bowl year where they get in as a 6 and they go on a run. You know, or teams like Denver, I think, was a 6 seed 1 year. I'm not sure, but I think they were. There aren't many teams that could do that. Your Super Bowl runs have always had the bye built in. I don't know if this team's good enough, and I don't think this team's good enough to go on one of those type runs if you don't get the bye.
The Patriots.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you still might be hand-gift the bye because I don't believe in Houston. I think Houston's an okay team.
So then it's not really wide open then.
Yeah, it is.
How is it then? How is it wide open? You think that
you could be the 2 or the 4 or 5 or 6, and
you're telling me you don't think they could do it without getting a bye? So they're not doing it as a 4 or 5.
Well, truly, it
or
should.
As a 3.
But then, if the matchup falls, you mean to tell me you can't beat a Baltimore or Tennessee here at home in wild card weekend?
No, you could.
Sure
as hell
you could.
And then I think you have less of a chance because you played a game of winning in the
right.
next week.
But now you got a team like Houston that sits there and rests. You think they're good enough to handle the bye? They're pumping their own tires down there. You think you can't outcoach that coach down there? You haven't done it?
You can't downgrade every other team while upgrading the Patriots at 9-5. You can't do it that way.
It stinks that you're playing the way you're playing right now, but there are other teams that are starting to run out of gas a little bit, so to speak. That can help you. That's all.
The Saints still
this
won
isn't
last
a top
night.
Heavy. This isn't a top heavy conference type thing that we have cranking up here like we had a month ago, where you thought teams might end up rolling in at 15-1. Rams looked unbeatable about a month ago. So did the Chiefs. Those days are gone. Saints looked okay last night. They look great. That doesn't look like a one seed.
I mean,
to me
it's
right
the
now.
NFL, so no one is supposed to look unbeatable.
I know.
In most years, no one does look unbeatable.
Boy, we thought the NFC had the power teams, though, and, you know, predominantly it's usually the stronger conference. What we're really finding out is there's more teams in the mix that have a shot at this thing in the AFC than you do in the NFC.
I think it's wishful thinking.
You believe in Chicago or Dallas?
I don't really believe in Dallas, but Chicago could get there as long as they can win the way they win. I mean, Chicago should have hope based on the way they played against teams like the Rams.
Yeah, and the Rams could slip up one more time, and Chicago could get the bye, and the Rams might have to be the three.
Oh, wouldn't that be something?
What's that Rams schedule look like?
Oh, they're playing two cupcakes. They should win those two games. But if they do slip up one more time, Bears could sneak in there.
Yeah.
Be a big dance party.
I sort of do believe.
Oh, boss be great. Go nuts.
I do believe in the Bears a little bit to be tough in the playoffs because they have such great defense. Especially if they end up as the two seed.
And they'd be playing on that crappy field
playing
in Chicago,
home,
too.
And
which
you
would
gotta
benefit
go to
them.
Chicago
muddy up
and
that
it's
long
cold
grass.
And windy, and you're playing against guys that want to crush you.
Playing in the mud.
It's easy to turtle in that environment.
I'd muddy that field up. I'd let the grass grow, let it get muddy, let it get divots, and just go play on it.
617-779-0985. Pete's in Ohio. Pete.
Hey, Petey.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. Good.
Hey, couple questions. The offensive coordinator, who gets to call? You brought that point up about the protection for the quarterback.
Yep.
So does Scarnecchian, the line coach, and the coordinator, I mean, if Scarnecchian sees something that Brady's getting tossed around or getting beat up on the blind side, who makes that call? Is it the OC or the...
Oh, he could go to Josh and say, hey, so-and-so's having issues. We gotta get him some help. They communicate
so
that way,
do that.
But ultimately, I don't know if he did. Ultimately, Josh calls the play into protection. So, Josh, Scar doesn't call it. You know what Scar is given? Five guys. Here's the protection. Make sure you get the right call by David Andrews out, and make sure it gets out to the guys on the edge. That's Scar's job.
Scarnecchia. We've had a few callers with name issues today.
Scoochamacho.
If you've picked up on that.
Dante Scoochinitchi.
Been a bit of a track record. Bit of a trend here.
Dante Scratchinitchi.
Stu in Winchendon. Stu.
Stewie.
Yeah, hi there. I just wanted to make a... I know these are two different sports, but I was reading this article when Ray Leonard tried to make a comeback at the age of 41, and this trainer, doctor, or somebody made the point was that you can't rotate your hips and you know, pivot. Calling it pivot, you know, the way a boxer pivots.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's happened to Tom, because all of a sudden he looks kind of slow sometimes and trying to get away
from
the...
He always looks slow.
Yeah. I mean, and I thought that was a real good point, because I thought about it. It was in Sports Illustrated about, you know, Sugar Ray Leonard trying to come back at the age of 41, and then this medical doctor said that he couldn't pivot anymore.
Yeah, I mean, the pivot. I mean, I just know that if you step to the left and you fall down to your left as you're throwing, you're not going to get much mustard on any of those balls, as opposed to stepping into the throw, like Brady works with Tom House, his throwing coach, over and over and over again. We talk about mechanics. And when he's mechanically sound, there's nobody better. Or maybe Rodgers. Maybe Rodgers can throw better. But Brady's up there when he's mechanically sound. Look at the skinny post he threw down in Miami and the post he hit Gorman with last week. I mean, those are big-time throws. You know, the out to Edelman, speed out. Those are big-time throws. But he's got his feet under him, mechanically sound, stepping into it, anticipating. Yeah. I don't think I need Sugar Ray's, you know, comeback doctor tell me that the hips aren't working there.
Right.
You know, because when his feet are under him, he looks pretty good.
Yep. 617-779-0985.
And Sugar Ray already said I'm done.
VSiN Action Update brought to you by the all-new Sportsbook Rhode Island at Twin River and Tiverton Casino Hotels. The only places in New England you can legally bet on sports, powered by William Hill. Get details at sportsbetri.com. 617-779-0985. What's so funny?
These pictures.
Oh,
the happiness of Christmas. The joy of Christmas morning.
The Christmas stock.
Look how happy that guy is unloading the car. Oh, hold on, honey. I'll carry all these. Whoa, we don't want to drop those. Do you gather your three around and put them all on your knee? Does your wife wake up and put on her makeup and you sit there and have some cocoa? It's Christmas morning. Oh, this time of year, man.
John in Bridgewater on the Patriots. Hello, John.
How you guys doing?
It's great.
I want to shout out to my buddy Cam and Cliff who lost their Christmas money on the Pats money line Sunday. But second off, I want to go back to the game plan. Why are we featuring Rex Burkhead in the offense when we wasted a first-round pick on Sonny Michel? If you remember the Chicago Bears game, we came out and featured Sonny Michel right out the gate, and that's how we put a pick seven on the board.
Sonny Michel.
They call him C. Yeah, I don't want you going down there to the corner and hanging out with Sonny. Sonny's a bad guy.
I hope T-Bone's collecting these today.
Right.
Skarnekian.
Hardy, what was the name of the guy at the cart, the pedal pusher?
We
cart?
Had one early. We had early.
Wasn't it
Michelle?
Phil? The old guy,
Pete.
Phil?
Oh, I was going to say Pete, but yeah, I think you're right.
Pete,
it's
it
Phil.
Might be Pete. Hey, Calogulo, take these peaches to your mother.
Yeah.
Your money's no good.
Okay, Michelle and Burkhead don't do the same things.
No, not even close. Michelle's in a game, he's running the ball. They won't even throw. They won't even attempt to throw. When's the last time they attempted to throw to him? Jacksonville?
I don't know.
Oh, he's had a couple catches.
I know he's had a couple catches. I'm just trying to be facetious there, but.
David's in Natick. Hi, David.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hi.
So, I think seeing this team, especially on the road, I feel like teams aren't afraid of the Patriots as much as they used to be. And I think it has to do mostly with the offense. And I know the personnel is what it is.
That's mystique talking about. You know, that mystique thing, when you walk in the stadium, oh, here come the big bad Patriots again. We better be on our game. And they usually make you do something out of the ordinary, right? That's the Houston.
Yeah.
Like Houston goes crazy. We got to go for it on fourth down. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think it has to do mostly with the offense and the personnel. It is what it is. We're not going to obviously get a player coming in for the rest of the season. So I was just wondering, I don't think it'll fix everything, but I would want to see them at least try to do just the pace, pick up the pace, no huddle, spread five, wide out, go ahead, go out, guns a-blazing. And maybe it's not going to work, but at least I would want to see them try something else, at least to start off games and try to get a lead on some of these teams.
Yeah,
pick up the pace is what he's saying.
All right. I mean, that
we've heard that a lot. Picking up the pace.
Yeah, part of picking up the pace, too, and you're putting a risk out there in a quick three and out, putting pressure on your defense. You know what I mean? Your weapon should be the offense, your ability to control the ball.
Josh Gordon has to come off the field in the final play of the game because he's gassed. Can they pick up the pace?
Probably can.
Is it in the game plan because of Gordon?
He may not be able to adapt to – you know what I mean? He may have his set calls.
They want to change their own personnel. They took Hogan off the field on third downs. They're replacing him with Cordero Patterson.
Yeah.
Right?
They really don't have a mix.
You know what amazing?
They don't have three receivers. They don't have big three receivers.
The most amazing stat of the game last week was that if like Patterson was a decent part of their offense, he played five snaps.
Yeah.
Wow.
He played five snaps.
And when he was in the game, he was in as a fullback.
Not always.
No, but no.
He had a coming out of the third down. Third down conversion. He was on the field for that very last play. I remember him a couple other times. It's almost like you remember every snap he played.
How many other guys were trying to run over people and give you some effort to try and get to the sticks?
Yeah.
You know?
Scott's in Weymouth. Hi, Scott. Hi, Scott.
What's up, guys? I'll keep it quick today. Real quick, yesterday's call, I listened to the playback. Hysterical. Boom. You remember me, right?
Boom.
Boom. Oh, my God. I had a few drinks yesterday, obviously. All right, real quick. So they asked Brady, is the
what
dynasty
time was
over?
That you called?
I'm sorry?
What time was that you called?
Yesterday? What time? Hour four, because I listened to the playback. Yeah, hour four. Yep. Okay.
They asked 1:05 p.m. he called in.
For anybody who wants to call in and be on our show, you could also, yeah, that's right, within the next 24 hours, we'll post the hourlies on our website. Not on our website, but on our app. And you can actually tap the app and re-listen
and
to your
on
call.
On our website, 985 The Sports.
Am I still on? It's hard to tell sometimes. Hello?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, still
okay,
on.
Okay, cool.
Still
thank you. So Brady is the dynasty over, they asked him. And he gave a nice little answer. But I'm going to tell you, this is how I'm going to judge if the dynasty's over. This weekend against Buffalo, they're 13-point favorites, as we heard in the commercial. I don't want to see them win this game 27-24. If this team is still for real at 9-5, they should beat them about 47-6. I want to see a blowout. If they don't blow out Buffalo, yeah, the dynasty is over. Let's see what happens. Thanks, guys.
Blowout required for Scott and Weymouth.
I don't care how you win. I said that in Miami, too. You've lost two in a row. Win this game the way Saints did last night, 12-9, whatever you need to do.
This team can't worry about style points.
Style points.
Win the game.
Get the 11
win
wins.
Next week's game. See what happens, and then win your first playoff.
And this is exactly my point. You can't hold style points against New Orleans and not hold it against the Patriots and say that the field is wide open. Those are two different standards.
You're not the number one seed playing on Monday night.
That's
totally different.
If it's standard. Wide open, everyone has to be held to the same standard. And that's why I don't think that.
Well, you're getting into a
it's
ranking.
It's wide open
you're,
because nobody's great.
You're getting,
that's why
getting
it's wide
into
open.
A, oh, I think you're getting wrong. Into a they're ranking.
Teams. We thought Hell, they were great not. Teams.
They're not.
So simply because you had a close win,
New England's
you're no
not great.
A great team?
And the other teams that we think potentially want to be great and may be great a month ago aren't great anymore.
You were in a dogfight against the Bucs last week if you're the Saints. You lost to Dallas in their other primetime game they played
Boom.
A few weeks before.
Boom.
It's a trending the wrong way for the Saints. It's not. They're not great. No, they're not great. The
Rams are in worse shape.
I'm not putting them all in the same group.
Rams got beat by a team that we thought was dead in the water. They traveled 6 hours west and beat them in their own building. Beat them badly.
Chris is in Newton. Hey, Chris.
Hey, fellas. Number one, this is the best Boston sports radio program.
I agree.
Down.
Thank
it's
you.
Not close. Number
no,
two.
No doubt.
You agree.
Listen, there are a couple plays. I mean, listen, you're going to kill me for being an optimist, but this team's a couple plays away from being 11-3, and we feel totally different. Fact of the matter is there's no great teams. The mistakes that they've made are correctable. Their best football could be right out there in front of them. Like, let's go. We can fix this stuff. I mean, not a big deal. I feel great about them playing the best football down the stretch.
Yeah.
They're in the stretch, though.
This is the stretch.
They're in the middle of it, and they've dropped two straight. This is down the stretch.
Tom Brady's lost two consecutive games in December.
The point is you can't feel great about anything.
Nothing. What you could possibly feel great about?
You can say there's a chance, but you can't feel great about it.
Yeah.
I think that's where everyone is. You feel – well, not everyone, apparently. But that's the way I am. I feel like they have a chance.
Yeah.
But I also think they could lose to the Bills, and they could be possibly out of the playoffs at some point, which would be
I don't believe that.
Which would be cataclysmic, and I would think that would be – let's press,
I think the, Jets
let's press
play,
the overall.
I think the Jets will play for the number one pick in the final week, hopefully.
See, I don't buy that. Don't buy that even a little bit. Players and coaches don't play for picks.
It's insulting.
Players and coaches don't play for picks.
I think the GM could start the third-string quarterback the final week instead of starting Darnold or McCown.
How does the GM do that? Walks downstairs and changes the starting lineup for
Todd
the game?
Todd Bowles, you're not going to get released at the end of the season. We're going to keep you for next year, but you're going to start this guy final week.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Sign that.
I don't think that happens. I do not believe that that is how it's going to play. Teams don't play for picks. They can't. That's not how it works. Players don't care about your draft position. Coaches don't care about it. They're just trying to win a game. Tim is in Hopkinton. Tim.
Hey, guys. So I called Felger and Maz like earlier in the season, and I had a kind of a feeling that the Pats were becoming the Dallas Cowboys in the 90s when Jimmy Johnson left because upper management got too involved with his coaching decision. So, like, I want to get your opinion now. If the same thing's happening now, like, what do you guys think now later in the season with the results we've seen?
I think the Bill Jimmy situation is different because I think, Bill does control a lot of stuff here, but Jimmy really wasn't given that control. Jimmy was just coaching the team at that point. Jimmy didn't have the stability. Bill's been here for so long now. He's won. When you've won that many titles, this Bill has won, and your base is here, and your kids now are in your program, and you own the house in Nantucket. Yeah. Everything's feasible for you. Everything's just easy. It's convenient.
I don't see a parallel because Bill's the GM still.
Yeah.
I mean,
Jimmy
I
was never
Casario's
the
GM.
Jimmy
here, but...
could never pick talent. That was the problem. That's Bill's... why Parcells left. Parcells couldn't pick talent.
Now, you might
shop
say,
for the groceries. You know what I'm saying?
If the thought is that there was interference on the quarterback situation, possibly, but I don't think it's extended beyond that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's gotten any worse since that point. I don't think there's been any more like
and
stopping
just,
in and dictating who and
right.
who's on the roster and who's off.
Now, Panarin, the quarterbacks have been given leeway. You got Alex on the plane. The kids were there. I mean, it's just I think that most of that stuff's buried, and I just even hear the way Coach talks about the quarterback then. Yesterday he said, Tom makes great decisions for us. Does such a good job on our offense. It's like, it's so the other way than what it was last year. that some of this stuff, this friction has been buried. And this is just purely on the way they're playing and the lack of depth that they have. Like I said, Jim's talking about you're throwing Patterson in after only five reps because you're worried about Gordon being gassed on a final play. You know, the tight end's a shell of himself. All this weighs on everything. And now you're asking a 41-year-old to carry you. Where most of last year, you know, people played well. Deion Lewis busted his ass. Played well for you. Helped the quarterback out a lot. Everybody did. Gronk. You know? Danny Amendola put his nuts on the line for you. How many times last year? Stepped up huge. Some of those elements aren't gone. Now he's trying to find, who do I go to? Well, Levin looks like he's on one leg right now. Like I said, when's the last time they lined him up in a slot, the old Troy Brown or Wes Walker position, just did a little bang route on him? That's gone. You saw it briefly down in Miami when he had run at return, the Seattle touchdown that he caught in the Super Bowl, that type of play, and Brady put it right on him. And when he's right, when he's feeling good, they're going to be okay.
617-779-0985. Coming up next, why don't we get to the Houston Oilers fight song?
Yeah. You're mesmerized by this. Like, you had no clue.
I had no idea.
See, being a Steeler fan,
I grew up,
we hated Big Blue, man. Big Blue. They had the Shakers and everything.
Yeah, review of
Houston Oilers.
A review of NFL fight songs because we mentioned Miami. That the Chargers have lost theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still calling them the San Diego Chargers, but they can't even really use their song anymore. How sad.
It's too funky. Like, they used to have this song, Take It to the House, that they would pump. We used to play out there, and became really big when LT was playing there, and he had that big touchdown run. Every time they scored touchdowns.
I'm not talking about, like, a stadium song.
Their touchdown song was Take It to the House.
Well, like a song
but that was their thing.
Team?
Yeah.
This is awesome.
This is probably the best of all of them.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll give it that. It's very disco.
Turn it up, Tom.
It's very disco tech.
Well, think of the era.
Woo! San Diego, Superchargers, San Diego. Super. Chargers, San Diego. Super.
Love it. Superchargers, San Diego. Absolutely love it. I wish there were more.
Who is this? Is this, this isn't like LeVert or back in the day.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know those answers. Yeah. Okay, so that's the Chargers song. We thought of this. We just sort of had this come up in conversation earlier today. Chargers can't use their song anymore. Good luck. But the Dolphins one, I said the Dolphins one is trash. And you said, oh, that's a ripoff of the Houston one. First of all, let's play the Dolphins song.
Yeah.
So people don't know that one. In case people don't know it.
The stupid drum started.
Dolphins song sounds like this. Yeah.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins, number one.
We are stupid ass song.
It's wretched.
Marino hated
it. Socks.
You and me are Pittsburgh. Played a polka.
Yeah, yeah, is that what Marino used to say?
Hated
play
it.
The polka?
Hated it, yeah. He's like, this is a dumb ass song.
But it's a ripoff of the Houston Oilers song.
So it ain't going to stop me from
100%.
All right, let's hear that.
Look out, football. Here we come. Houston Oilers, number one.
A little bit of a different opening.
Houston has the Oilers. The greatest football team.
Direct copy.
We take the ball from goal to goal.
Goal to goal.
No one's ever
seen it.
We're in the air, we're on the ground. Always in control.
Yep.
And when you say the Oilers, you're talking Super Bowl.
because we're the Houston Oilers.
How did they get away with this?
Copycats. Copyright infringement. I don't know. They probably bought it.
You don't have to kill it there.
Houston Oilers number one. Yes,
we used to hate them. They used to have white, blue, baby blue shakers, and they just shake them like this, and it's stupid. Astrodome. Steelers always had trouble playing. That's when Earl Campbell ran over Donnie Shell. Remember, he lowered his helmet right in Donnie Shell's chest. Ran right over. Wow. That's one of the greatest plays I've ever seen. Good tackle.
How did the Dolphins get away with this?
Because it's stupid Florida.
Stupid
cheesy.
Florida.
Cheesy. Sports in Florida.
We got the offense. We got the defense.
I think Miami sped it up a little bit.
Took a little bit.
Took the tempo up a little bit. Right?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, so.
Terrible. So, what are we doing?
According to one column here, the fight song Miami Dolphins number one was written first in 1972. The Houston Oilers fight song was written in 1978, both with the same words. So, apparently, the Dolphins, which, by the way, does sound older, Dolphins one was first.
So, it was the other way around.
Other way around.
No.
Oilers ripped off the Dolphins.
Well, just by the sound of the songs.
This sounds
older. That sounds old. This sounds older.
Miami has the Dolphins.
Yes, it does.
So I think the Oilers ripped off the Dolphins.
That sounds like Glenn Campbell.
Wow.
But you figure, like, back in the 70s, you could get away with that. I mean, how would you ever hear the other one?
I don't know.
Just you'd have to travel to that town to hear it. And even then, where would you hear it? It's not like they're playing it on the radio or anything.
Do you have the T.I. version of the Miami one? Or T-Pain, whatever his name is?
T.I.?
Is it T.I. or T-Pain, Jim?
I don't know.
I think it's T-Pain.
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 You want the T-Pain version of the Miami one?
Yeah.
All right. Do that.
Carnival Cruise.
Let's go! Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen.
Do we have the Prince Vikings fight song?
Nope.
Oh, yes.
Nope.
No.
Yes,
we're not we're not doing it. It's disrespectful to his memory. Nope. We're not doing it.
Lions Pride also.
Oh, we do. Lions Pride. Is there a roar? Restore the roar. That wasn't that it?
Wow.
Restore the
roar. The Lions back in the 70s did a new version of Another One Bites the Dust.
You know what, Hardy? I watched the Barry Sanders of Football Life last night. And I was like, wow. Lions are pretty good, even with Barry and Scott Mitchell's quarterback.
The guy who wrote these songs was Lee Offman, was his name.
All right.
He wrote the Miami one first. He later changed the lyrics for the Houston Oilers.
So he was commissioned by the Oilers to rewrite the lyrics for their team.
Jesus.
Wow.
That's terrible.
So the Oilers ripped off the Dolphins.
There you go.
Aye, aye.
1972, he wrote it for the Dolphins. After writing the song, he made 10,000 copies and hired an agent to promote it. Wow. After hearing nothing, he assumed his song would disappear forever, but after the Dolphins won the Super Bowl, fans began singing his song. So there you go. Although, it appears that he wrote the Houston Oilers song shortly after he wrote the Miami one, so they were written around the same time. So it's still a ripoff, though. Okay, then.
Detroit.
Nice.
It's like a bad cartoon. Robotic. It's almost like Revenge of the Nerds. It's very Revenge of the Nerdy. What?
Apparently, the motivation, Hardy, for writing the Oilers version was that he called the Miami Top 40 radio station that had played the song to tell them that he was the songwriter, and the program director laughed and hung up on him. And angered by that, he then wrote
revenge!
Another version of the song for the Houston Oilers and changed the lyrics.
You know,
and it would become a huge hit. During the Earl Campbell, Bum Phillips era in Houston, he made more money on the Oilers version than the Miami version.
Hey,
when you were
like if we did that to Jungalo.
when you're a kid and you're hanging around with your friends, you have all the dumb conversations about, like, oh, did you hear the Mikey from the Life cereal commercial died? Stuff like that. Zoe, you probably remember that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I do.
Right?
Yeah.
And there was a rumor, I remember, in the neighborhood. It was either Jeff Watson or Charlie Mest who started talking about how the Lions were going to take the fight song from the Houston Oilers. Like, we didn't even know about the Dolphins version, but we thought, oh yeah, they're gonna use it now. They're gonna and it's gonna be Detroit Lions, which sounded, you know, perfectly plausible to like an 8-year old, right? But now I think years later, oh, that was just nonsense. Maybe there was talk of it. Maybe the Lions tried to get a fight song too, written by this same guy.
Maybe they did. Couldn't get it done.
Oh. I have some inside knowledge by a
We've got the melody. We just can't put the words together ourselves. We need you to do it. Leonard.
There's a Patriots beat writer who works for the Globe by the name of Ben Volt, says we're totally missing out on this.
What are we missing out on?
There's a song that the Rams have. He said, tell Hardy, look it up. It's called Ram It.
It's current?
Ram it good.
They're using it currently?
No, that there's a Ram song out there that nobody's talking about. And he said, tell Hardy, look it up.
St. Louis Rams, Ram It?
I don't know.
I got it.
All right.
I got it.
Hey!
Stop.
A little repetitive.
Stop. Honey, stop. We're going to get to the chorus after this. We have to give this a full listen.
Okay, good.
I don't want to rush this.
Is this like Devo?
Wow.
Is this like Devo? Rip it good. Whip it good. Ram it good.
617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls as well next.
Yeah.
From Gillette Stadium, it's Illac and Bertrand. Sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. On 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
The Bills make me wanna
shout.
Kick your heels up and
shout.
Throw your hands up and
shout.
Throw your head back and
shout.
Come on now, the Bills are making it happen now. Stand up now, come on and shout. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Say you will.
Shout it right now, baby.
Say
this thing
come
sucks.
On, come
it's
on.
Great. It's K-Gun, bud.
I tell you, there's nothing that matches San Diego Super Show.
You play this, it means Thurman Thomas or Andre Reed just scored. That's what that meant. Another Jim Kelly touchdown.
Junk,
another Jim Kelly touchdown.
Junk. Garbage.
They used to play this.
I want to go back to this Rams one, which does sound like a late 70s, early 80s Devo song, is what it sounds like.
God, Ram It Good.
It's football, just like that. We got an offensive line who's very tough. We got a defensive line called the Silver Rook.
Oh, excuse me. I was playing the Lions fight song in the background there. Didn't mean
I was like,
to.
What is this? What is that
crap?
This?
We'll get to it.
I was going
to
say, if I mentioned offensive line, maybe Slater's dad was in it.
right, where's the Rams song?
We'll get to that. Okay, this is the song that
Ben
Volen turned us on to. We don't know anything about it other than they say, hey, 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 at the beginning, and it's called Ram It.
Ram It.
That's all we know so
Ram
far.
It good.
So here we go. Take it away.
You're going to ram it. Ram it good. Sure are.
What is this?
It's Ram It.
Rockin' L.A. That's the L.A. Rams.
It's Ram It.
Ram It good.
I pull the trigger, I'll knock you dead.
I'm a mountain man from West VA. They call me Herc and I came to play. I learned long ago to ram it just right. You can ram it all day and ram it all night.
What the hell? You can't do that. This is not appropriate. By the way, this song is 5 minutes and 20 seconds long.
I want
it's
to
like
hear
the Inagata DeVita of fight songs.
Keep going. I want to hear another verse.
There's a big
Daddy Hill, take a look at my stock. I catch what they told me and I like the block. I'm quick off the line as I can be, cause I don't want dick running over me.
This is Babyface and I don't yield. I'm a Texan fool on the football field. From the Jersey Shore to Balboa Bay, if you run at me, you'll have a bad day.
RB, no Speedball Brown, fastest man in the whole damn town. Cars and ladies are a part of my creed, but more than that, I feel the need for speed.
This is Ketcher, out to make a run. With shades on, I can catch a DB in the dock. So now you're ready, and I'm sure you'll agree, the ramming is fun when you're ramming with me.
What year was this made?
We're like a third of the way through.
That's late 70s.
What year was this made?
Late 70s.
I'm going to skip ahead, see if I can get the next verse here.
Okay.
Daddy Hill, take a look at my stock. I catch what they told.
No, we already heard that.
We already heard that.
All right, here we go.
Rabbit.
Oh, God.
Red in here, I'm a pumping iron man. If Eric can't get it, I will and I can. I'm strong as you come, but I've got a brain. He's stopping me.
I'm sorry? What did he just say?
Something about it.
Ramming a train?
I'm as strong as they come, I think.
Oh. Okay.
I'm Carly, the general of the D. I make the calls, I'm the coach in LB. This motorcycle, this has got style and class. If you come my way, I'll knock you on your ass.
Jackie Slater is in this song.
Yes, 45 seconds in. Yeah. If it's the same, if this is multiple versions. 45 seconds in, Jackie Slater.
Do you want me to find the Jackie Slater
I'm
part?
Big Bad Jackie, and I'm starting us off.
Okay, here we go. Down, here we go.
This is Big Bad Jackie, and I'm starting us off. The Rams get down, so nobody score. And don't you worry, because the Rams are rapping. When game time comes, we'll be back to that. We can't sing, and our dance is not pretty. But we'll do our best for the team and the city. So get on your feet and clap your hands. Let's ram it right now with the L.A. Rams.
Hollywood handsome.
That is Matthew Slater's dad.
Wow.
Sounds a little nerdy, too.
What do you think, Matthew? How do you think he would sound?
We can't sing and our dance is not pretty, but we'll do our best for the team in the city.
That's right.
This song is from 86.
Jackie Slater, I haven't done this in a while, but since I'm a nerd, I'll ram it missionary style. Ram it! Hey! Everybody ram it!
Jim's showing a video of it right now. It's horrifying.
Oh, my.
What about the Bears? What about we had this Bears hustling crew? With the but that was like a Super Bowl shuffle thing.
Yeah.
That was just a single season.
So this is the one from,
that doesn't count.
This is the one from my youth. This is when the Lions had the brilliant idea after they won a few games in a row to remake Queen, Another One Bites the Dust.
This is Spider-Man Allen. I have a message for everyone in the NFL.
Hey, message.
Spider-Man standing on the seat with his helmet way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound to clean. The line began to roar. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Are you sitting on the edge of your seat? Come and watch the Detroit Lions that no one seems to beat. Another one bites the dust.
How much you think they had to pay royalties to Queen for that?
I'm guessing zero.
When did this all change where you can't rip off someone's...
They waited to get sued like Vanilla Ice.
Right. Wait till they start name-checking this legendary Lions roster. It's pretty special. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Last year's team was 2-14, but this is the year for New Orleans.
New Orleans. I would say the Super Bowl's in New Orleans that year.
Are you sitting on the edge of your seat? Come and watch that Detroit line that no one seems to beat. And another one bites the dust.
So is this 85?
And another one bites the dust.
Was it that late?
And another one's gone, and another one's gone, and another one bites the dust.
Hey,
I'm gonna get you two. Another one bites the dust.
It's too much the song.
Another one bites the dust.
Hey, there's Gary Danielson. Drop back pass. Touchdown. Freddie Doc Scott.
I'm a Spider-Man. I can do whatever a spider can. I can spin a web any size. They can catch football. Just like
Fox.
We got an offensive line who's very tough. Got a defensive line called the Silver Rush. Got Dexter Buddy.
Silver Rush.
Horace King. See Billy Run.
They couldn't catch him with
Billy
gun.
Sims?
Yeah.
Billy Sims.
Might be from 1980.
Oh, Billy.
And then the name checking the coach. Tick tock, that's money clock. There's Gary Jackson, drop back pass.
Touchdown, wide receivers, Freddie Prescott. Wide receiver. Wow. Look at that guy on those name, wide receiver. All right.
I could do this all day.
I can't.
You could do it all day.
Steelers win. Steelers, best one. It's incredible how bigger that is. Hound dog. That's awful. That dog will hunt. That dog will hunt.
Earl Flynn in the end zone.
God, this is awful.
Earl Flynn in the end zone.
These are like individual ones, though. These don't stand the test of time when you start putting individual players in there.
That's true.
Right?
It's kind of ballsy. 2-14 team coming out with the song before
song.
The season starts.
Well,
hey,
song.
What do you want? Four-game win streak.
Then they went 9-7 after that. That's not bad. Not great.
They
should have
kept it short and simple like the Packers one, which is all of 3 seconds.
Do you know what Detroit beat an Emmitt Smith-led team in the playoffs 38-6? Like the Barry Sanders ran all over them? Like back when Wayne Fonts was coaching? Like Barry, like
that was
Mitchell,
an NFC Championship game.
Mitchell
was
your quarterback. No, because he didn't go to Super Bowl.
No.
No, NFC Championship game, I think that was. They won. That was the year the Lions won the playoff game.
That's not an NFC Championship game. They would have been in the Super Bowl. Do you understand that?
They won a playoff game, and then they played in the NFC
Championship
game.
Yeah. They lost. Yeah.
90,
Scott Mitchell.
Yeah, the Lions' singular playoff win. That was 1991. Mm.
Great times.
Full 11 years after Another One Bites the Dust. That was 1980.
Wow.
Good times.
When you jump out to a 4-0 start, everybody gets excited.
Put out a song.
And they win 5 games.
Get in the studio. So record a song.
And then end up winning 5 in their next 11. Okay.
Tom Brady spoke last night at Westwood One with Jim Gray. And some of Jim Gray's questions were strong. Very strong. We'll get to that coming up in 90 seconds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.